It's Against All Odds presented by FanDuel. You know, the playoff action is heating up, and with FanDuel, you can bet on everything from the NBA Finals MVP to who's going to lift the Stanley Cup. Right now, check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. You filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 or older, 18 or older in DC, and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. All right, welcome to Cousin Sal's winning weekend. Thank you. I just cleared injury protocol. It's good to be back. Last week was once again a winning weekend. Plus, on Monday, I gave you not one, but two winners. Hooray for me and Will Levis. Mayo coffees for everybody. Coming up, we've got Super Bowl MVP Phil Sims joining us. He's got so much insight. I promise you'll be smarter after listening to him. He'll tell us why Cleveland might actually be even scarier with Joe Flacco at quarterback and someone who's never a backup to anyone. Brother Bri returns to the handicapping hot seat. We'll break down all the Week 15 games as my Cowboys go for number six in a row against the Buffalo Bills. Plus, it's a football-filled weekend in Wager Rager. I'll tell you why Saturday games equal good news for fans, but bad news for nuptials. But before any of that, let's recap that Raiders-Chargers disaster of a game in a segment that just signed with Tommy DeVito's agent. It's Cover 4!
Cover 1!
All right, so the Raiders won last night 63-21, but this game was over early. Like, I think Davante Adams was in the second trimester or something. And if you thought the Chargers' offensive line had a tough assignment blocking Max Crosby, Amazon Prime sideline reporter Kaylee Hartung had the task of interviewing Chargers not-for-long head coach Brandon Staley down 42-0 heading into halftime. And at this point, she could have asked him anything. Coach, have you seen the new Willy Wonka movie? Coach, what's the appropriate amount to spend on a white elephant gift? Coach, do you miss the McRib? All good options, but instead, Kaylee went with this old classic.
Brandon, how do you describe the performance of your team in the first half?
This wasn't good enough. That wasn't us out there. You know, did not come ready to play. You know, second half, we got to fight for pride. But it's a good group. We got to regroup at halftime. Come out and try to play a better second half.
Thank you, Coach.
Wow, good for Brandon Staley. I think I would have just started crying. Thankfully, Kaylee didn't interview me last week after I lost in fantasy to my friend Harry by a point. She probably would have laughed as I grabbed the elf on the shelf and chucked it right through the flat screen. I might have anger issues, and Brandon Staley definitely has employment issues.
Cover 2!
Alright, this NFL season has made less sense than the new Scorsese movie. Last week, the Raiders scored 0 points. Last night, they scored a franchise record 63 points. And it's not like this was different months of the season. This was just last week. Technically, the same week if you're one of those lunatics who believes the week begins on Sunday. But think about it. They couldn't even manage a field goal against the Vikings, and just 4 days later, they put up a 63 whopper. This wasn't Bishop Sycamore either. This was the Chargers, technically still a professional football team. And this can only mean one thing for the game next week against the Chiefs. It's actually on Christmas Day. The Raiders will either score 70 or give up 70 or both. And odds of that are about the same as Andy Reid getting caught in your chimney. Pretty damn good.
Cover 3.
All right, this year has provided us with a never-ending carousel of quarterback backups. From Aiden to Zappe, they've all ditched the clipboard to take big boy snaps. And so with Justin Herbert out last night, it was the Chargers' turn to test out the understudy. This one they call Easton Stick. Yes, Easton Stick is a real name, even though it sounds like he'd be one of the characters in a Key and Peele sketch or a deodorant Pete Rose would be forced to endorse in an effort to pay off gambling debts. But there Easton Stick was, for real, last night, and he had 3 touchdown passes. Lucky garbage time points, but still not so bad compared to the rest of the ne'er-do-wells wearing the same jersey. Regardless, I wanted to learn more about Easton Stick, so I checked Wikipedia and was introduced to this great nugget. During week 3 of the 2020 regular season, Stick briefly entered the game after starting quarterback Justin Herbert was apparently injured. Before Stick could take the first snap of his career, however, the Chargers called a timeout and substituted Herbert back in the game. And that was the sexiest of all Easton Stick-related items. Seriously, his Wikipedia page was more boring than your kid's holiday recital. I made fun of the Will Levises of the world for putting mayo in their coffee, but damn it, at least he stands for something. I couldn't just sit back and watch as the world learned nothing about Easton Stick, so I did what any other concerned onlooker would do. I made stuff up and added it to his Wikipedia page. For instance, did you know before every game, Easton shoves 150 lucky pennies into his jockstrap? Also, Easton is a gifted breakdancer who has dreams of competing in Paris in 2024. He's allergic to kiwi. And most importantly, his middle name, Peppermint, really gets you in the mood for the holidays. Anyway, I hope you all now know a little more about Easton Stick. And I'm calling it. In 9 months, look for a huge spike in new parents naming their child after sporting equipment. All right, last night we witnessed a battle, more like a skirmish, between the Chargers and the Raiders. And if you're paying attention, you know both teams recently relocated. And if we're being honest, they should probably re-relocate. I'm not saying the move didn't work out, but One Direction has a bigger fan base than these two teams. The Raiders actually had diehard fans. They all died. Trample had a monster truckathon last year. Very sad. I sent my condolences and a silver and black cheese platter. The Chargers, on the other hand, have a superfan. Not plural, one singular superfan who may or not be a paid plant. And you might think, okay, it is what it is. Nothing's going to change now after all this moving. So here's a better idea. Dean Spanos and Mark Davis, just swap deeds to the stadiums. This is much easier and probably cheaper than hiring movers again. The Chargers are now called the Raiders. The Raiders are now called the Chargers. Essentially, the Raiders are back to LA where they belong. And, you know, I joke about the monster truck accident, but the Raiders fans are still in LA. LA County Jail, but still LA. And the Vegas Chargers will thrive in Sin City. They'll be used to having no fans in the stadium. Throw in some all-you-can-eat buffet vouchers and drink tickets, and everyone's happy. This is a win-win, which might be the only future wins for two of the league's most disappointing teams. So there you have it. One more giant trade. Call it slop swap. Call it whatever you want. Just get it done, fellas. But whatever you do, please leave Austin Eckler behind. He deserves it for screwing me in 3 fantasy leagues. All right, that does it for Cover 4. Now it's time for my comedic and irrationally angry attempt to make rational sense of a somewhat irrational bet. It's Wager Ranger! All right, we have a huge Saturday coming up in the NFL. 3 games tomorrow, all compelling. All the teams playing are somehow above 500. So I and millions of American football junkies have no choice but to watch these matchups. The problem is while every kiss begins with K, every divorce begins with Saturday kickoffs. Sad but true. I find that spouses, mine in particular, have little to no tolerance for regular season Saturday games that fall smack dab in the middle of the holiday rush. And it's hard to blame them. Try explaining how that during one of the biggest shopping days of the year, instead of helping out by patrolling the aisles of Bed Bath & Beyond, you'll be in your living room watching Browning, Buckner, and Boswell. I tried explaining to my wife that the tush push originated in a boisterous holiday line at Sephora. She didn't want to hear any of it. She didn't care. And I'll admit, as much as I adore the NFL, keeping up with the Derek Kardashians of the world is getting more and more difficult. The NFL should offer an advent calendar to keep track of all the games happening this month. Oh look, it's 3 games on Saturday, 2 games on a Monday, and eventually one golden ring, which we all get to admire from afar. I'm going to go ahead and place blame where it rightfully belongs, on the Goodell that stole Christmas. Yes, Roger is the real Grinch, but it doesn't even matter. Football isn't going away, and so once again, it's up to me to figure out a solution for the spousal resentment. And here it is. We need to integrate the desire to watch and gamble on our favorite sport with the responsibility of knocking out our holiday shopping lists. And that's why the balls of America need to step it up. If you want football fans to shop, you need to do your part. Forever 21 should have 21 flat screens. Hey, Best Buy, you're practically a sports bar already. Go ahead and make it official. Serve wings, and they will come. And Victoria, here's your secret. Guys need football as much as our spouses need lingerie. So bring in Teddy Bridgewater to pass out Lay's teddies. And then, after there's a bad call in a game, disgruntled fans can take out any anger by getting in the face of Foot Locker employees. if that still even exists. Either way, I promise all you perturbed spouses out there that there is a light at the end of the touchdown tunnel. As far as I could tell, Valentine's Day is free of NFL action. That is, unless there's special Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce engagement coverage on the NFL Network. If FanDuel puts up odds, I will definitely be betting that. All right, that's the rager. Now here's the wager. I'm taking a three-team parlay with all Saturday winners, Lions, Steelers, and Vikings. That's right, they're all going to prevail tomorrow. Pays over 7-1 odds, and when it hits, gifts under the tree for all. And if it loses, well, I'll see if FanDuel offers a return policy. Hey, we have a great show for you today. Super Bowl MVP and CBS analyst Phil Simms is here. But before that, here in the handicapper hot seat, joining me to break down all the Week 15 NFL action, brother Brian Ciccoli. That happens after the break on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Woo! Stick around. Welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Joining me now straight from the gymnasium where he forced his poor daughter to shoot free throws for the last 6 hours. Back in the handicapping hot seat, a man who's always met with, "You look taller and balder in person." It's my good pal, brother Bri. What's happening, Bri?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, we're dressed alike, and that is embarrassing, but not as embarrassing as last week. We suffered what we call a bed ache. And this Army-Navy game, they might as well start playing it on April 1st because it really is a practical joke against us specifically. We continue to hammer the under, and this was a fantastic finish, if I may say so myself.
Yeah, look, Sal, I mean, every year we've been on the under. We did it last year. We got screwed in double overtime, right? This year it seems like, Sal, this game was 10-0 with just a couple minutes left in the game, right? And we had under 27.5. Somehow it goes over on that last second safety. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing though, right? The Navy just started passing the ball like crazy. They looked like a professional team all of a sudden.
Yeah,
right?
The Navy quarterback had zero passing yards at half, and then all of a sudden looked like Joe Montana. And as you said, the Army quarterback took a safety with no time left to win 17-11. Good job by them screwing us over. So that's a bed ache, everybody. And we are now, we put our losing behind us. We're going to hit the Week 15 NFL slate. Lots of games here, Bri. So let's just tackle them all. Right. Three on Saturday. My goodness, lots of fun. Cincinnati, Minnesota. Cincinnati was 3.5. It went down to 3.39.5 is the over-under. The Bengals are home. What the hell happened to Josh Dobbs here? Not only was he benched, but he's not even the second string anymore, Bri. He's the third string behind Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. He saved their season, and now it's like, you're fumbling too much. But yikes, I'm still taking the Vikings here. I'm taking them plus the 3 points. I know Madison is out. Ty Chandler's going to get reps. There's been too much love for Cincinnati. I need to see a little more out of Jake Browning before I lay points like this. I know he's connecting at almost like an 80% clip. I think Justin Jefferson plays. That makes a big difference for Nick Mullins. Dogs in low total games, almost 60% over the last 5 years. Bengals defense not great, 31st in yards per play. Vikings covered last five off of a win. I think, you know, I'm going to pretty much take all the kitchen sink teams that need to win getting points, even if the favorite also needs to win. This is one example. I think the Vikes actually win 2016. What do you have?
All right. Well, I'm going against you, Sarah. Give me the Bengals here, -3. I love that it dropped from 3.5. But look, two really impressive performances in a row by the Bengals, right? Jake Browning has looked like Joe Burrow for 2 weeks in a row. And I know you said you need to see more from him, but the guy's been phenomenal. He's completing 76% of his passes, like you said. And this team is pretty healthy at the moment, right? And the Vikings offensively have struggled badly here for the last 2 weeks. And I don't know if Mullins is going to change that at all. Look, the guy is 5-12 in his career as a starter. Bengals continue their good play, and they cover. So I think this is a low number. Maybe it's fishy here, but I really like the way they're playing.
Lots of fishy ones. Like 13 out of the 15 lines are fishy. All right, the other second Saturday game that I'm going to have to watch between a kids wrestling tournament and birthday party is Indianapolis home laying 1.5 to Pittsburgh. Again, both teams need it. This was 2.5. It went down. Keep in mind, my favorite bet in the world, I'm not officially going on track for this for the graphic purposes, but Steelers opponent first half, Steelers to win the game, pays 8-1 this week. That has hit five times this year. So for the game, I like the Steelers to bounce back. I'm taking the 1.5. Lots of Trubisky hate, understandably so, but Minshew versus a team on extended rest that's 8 or more days is 0-4 straight up, and he loses by almost 13 points a game. The Steelers' defense is rested. T.J. Watt is out of concussion protocol. I think the Steel Curtain wins at 19-14. You bet. Well, you like that first half thing that I have, right?
Well, look, Sal, I'm kind of stealing your bet here, but I think I'm going to go really big this weekend on the Colts -1.5 in the first half at +120. The Steelers have been atrocious in the first half, right? They've been outscored by 3 or more in 9 of their last 10 games. And listen to this. They've scored 3 points or less in the first half in 7 of their last 10 games. That's, you can't get worse than that. And then you look on the other side of the ball. Colts and Minshew, top 10 in scoring in the first half here. So they come out strong here. And look, I don't know who wins this game. Maybe the Steelers win it, but I know the Colts are covering this first half.
Yeah, you could go back in that trend. Remember Roethlisberger? Same thing. That put up or a 3 in the first half. They've been bad for probably 3 or 4 years in the first half. It's not a bad selection there. All right, the nightcap. Detroit, 4.5-point favorite against Denver, who was on fire, really on fire, until Houston tripped them up. Then they got back on track last week against the Chargers. Everybody does, but I still don't trust this Denver team. As soon as I can lean heavy on them, I think we're going to see that 70-point defense show up again. But I also don't like the Lions giving points here. They've not looked good. They can't get a stop. So what I'm doing is I'm taking their offense over 26.5 team points here. They average almost 29 per game at home. Big Jahmyr Gibbs game. He averages 5.4 yards per carry, now going up against the 32nd ranked defense against a run. 3-0 in primetime this year. I think they pour it on. I think they get in the low 30s offensively. Have fun with all your Detroit fantasy studs. This is 31-24 final. Afraid to give the points, but I do like the team total over. You like Denver?
Well, I don't like that score at all, Sal. So we disagree on this. So I'm big on the Denver +4.5 here. Look, Denver is 6-1 in their last 7, with their only loss, like you said, to the Texans on a road game that they really should have won. Look, this team won in Buffalo. They beat KC. They're kind of legit right now, and I hate it, right? Being a Raiders fan, I hate that the Broncos seem like they're pretty good again. But and then the other side, the Lions, I don't know what's happened to them. They've become a soft team, which is weird with Campbell as their head coach. They've been terrible defensively now for 5 straight weeks. Denver right now is the better team, and I'll gladly take the 4.5. I might even sprinkle a little bit on the money line here.
Well, sprinkling some holiday dust on that. All right, let's go on to Green Bay, Tampa Bay. Again, two teams that need wins here. Green Bay is favored by 3.5 at home. 41.5 is the over on there. I'm not going to get too excited about the technically first place Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have a negative point differential, but I'm also not going to get too excited about Jordan Love. I had a feeling something that like this would happen. I feel like, Bri, he's somewhere between the dynamo we saw against Kansas City and what we saw Monday night against the Giants. So I'm taking Tampa Bay plus the points here. I think the Bucs are slightly better. Baker, not traditionally great on the road, but they pulled it off last week. They're healthy. I think Mike Evans blows up this week. Green Bay has injuries. A.J. Dillon, broken thumb. Aaron Jones, day-to-day, 31st rushing the ball anyway, as it is. I'm not sure how they're going to move this ball against Tampa Bay. Pack coming off a short week. Give me the Bucs in this one, 26-19. You like that score? I think you do.
I do. I like that score. You know, because I'm going over 41.5. And look, both these teams have gone over in 3 straight. I think Baker's going to make enough big plays to keep this game really close. And look, the Packers have averaged 25 points per game in their last 4. I think it's a close game. If I'm taking the spread, I'd take Tampa too, and I think this is a 24-21 type game. So that's right with your number, so.
All right, more NFC battles here. New Orleans, 6-point favorite over the Giants, 37.5 is the over-under. I'm enjoying the Tommy DeVito stuff, but I'm also calling it Linguini sanity. As far as Lynn's sanity goes, I think this is the Italian version. The agent is great. It's all fun. But the Giants coming off a short week, emotional game. They go down to Big Easy. I'm going to lay the half dozen with New Orleans here. Giants 1-5 when throwing at least one interception this season. That's tied for 5th worst. The Saints have picked off 14 passes, 3rd best in the NFL. I just think this is a bad matchup for the Giants. Saints undefeated versus bottom 10 pass offenses. I know you're a Derek Carr guy. You had to be when he was with the Raiders. I don't know how much more I could take with the Dennis Allen, Derek Carr combo, but this is a nice spot for them. Maybe a big Kamara game, 23-9, probably boring, but I'm going to give the six. You're going the other way.
Yeah, I'm taking the Giants plus six. I'm really surprised, Sal, that you're willing to lay 6 points with the Saints here. This Saints team stinks. Seriously. Like, you're going to back Carr even after his teammates have had issues with him, right? You know, he's getting into fights with his own center. It's not looking good there, even though I know they won a blowout the other day. But no thanks for me. This Saints team, 1-5 against the spread at home, right? And the lowly Panthers being the only team to not cover. And that really came down to late in that fourth quarter before they pulled away. On the other side, right, the Giants team has won 3 in a row, and they're playing really hard, right? So I think we're going to see one more week of this Linguini sanity. Is that what you said? Is that
I'm working on it. I think I'm a syllable off there, but you know, it's
I think so.
There.
I think we're saying one too many syllables, but yeah, Giants cover the six. I really like the Giants here. I think it's way too much. It should be 4.5 or something. Six is too many.
Could this be, but we always see like a backup, not that Jordan loves a backup, but somebody who we consider the bottom 10 quarterback has a big game and then they come back to earth. Might be the same, I'm thinking, with Tommy DeVito, unless that agent has, you know, made some calls and told all the defensive players to back off. I could see that happening, too. It's very, very strange stuff going on. All right. Atlanta, Carolina. I hate this game. The NFC is such a mess. NFC South. Atlanta, 3-point favorite, 34.5 at Carolina. I might make this my rat line of the week on Ringer Wise Guys. I don't know how anyone could give Carolina only 3 points. The Saints, as bad as you said they are, they ended up crushing Carolina. But they're a one-win team. But this is a similar spot to when the Texans went to Carolina. I think it was also 3, and they lost. That's how Carolina notched their first and only win. I'm still going to go with the Panthers here, plus the 3 points. This is their first home game in a month, and Atlanta's had some clunkers on the road, too, at the Bucs. At the Jets, I know he's good for a couple good throws a game, but I'm not really even sure that Desmond Ridder is better than Bryce Young. I'm going to take the points here with not much, by the way, of trends to back it up. I think it's a 17-16 final. Give me the Panthers.
Well, look, yes, I'm going against you again here. I'm taking the Falcons -3. And look, I felt the same way. Not a lot of trends are good in this matchup, right? The Falcons have been bad on the road. The Panthers have been getting blown out at home. And look, I was always a Bryce Young supporter here, not even a hater, but the talent on this team is just really bad. There's no receivers, no offensive line. The one thing I think you could say is the Falcons defense will be the best unit on the field in this game. And even against Tampa, I know they gave up points, but a lot of that had to do with the Falcons offense putting them in bad position. So I just can't trust this Panthers one-win team. Even though defensively, I think they've been solid over the last couple of weeks. But I'm going to say this is similar to the last game they played earlier in the season. The Falcons win 17-10.
All right. Well, we both have the 17 in there. Can someone tell the Panthers that they don't get the? They don't have to keep losing. They don't get that pick no matter what, right? I don't think they know. I think
you
it's
couldn't
bad
be
intel.
In a. Is this the worst spot a team's ever been in?
Like, it's pretty bad.
I don't think it gets worse than this.
It's like, they have to every week announce that they're trying. All right, another South matchup, this time on the AFC side. These South games, this is Tennessee, 3-point favorite. Went from 2.5 to 3, 37.5 against Houston. I don't like this at all. I see these South games, I take a deep breath, and then I pull out my coin. Tennessee was fun Monday night, although my accountant might disagree with that. I lost a lot of money with those Dolphins. C.J. Stroud not yet cleared to play, but I'm hearing he will. I have some really, really good sources out there, bro. You know that. I'm going to bet the Texans to stay within a touchdown, but on a teaser. That's why I'm taking them with a teaser. Over 31.5, getting the +9. I see some scoring. Stroud, if he plays 3rd in the league with 280 passing yards per game. Titans 30th at forcing turnovers, which has been a problem for Stroud lately. I don't think it will. Meanwhile, Davis Mills start 6-3 against the spread on the road. I think it's going to be high scoring. 27-23 final. You're going Texans. Big boy bet. +3.
High scoring. But I'm going to take the Texans +3. And look, that sounds great. I mean, if Stroud is set and plays, that's awesome. Because I was just factoring in that Davis Mills is probably going to play this game. And even though he lost a ton of games last year, but he was still even a serviceable backup. So, you know, he beat the Titans 19-14 on Christmas Eve last year. So I don't know if it really matters who is the quarterback here. Texans, aside from this past game, in bad weather on the road, they've been competitive all year. Every one of their games is usually very close.
Yeah.
Again, now, you go AFC South here. These games are typically really close within a field goal. So I'd gladly take the points here.
All right. All of a sudden, we have a good one. This is a matchup we might want to tune in for. The Dolphins against the Jets. Dolphins went to 9 point favorite at home. 39 is the over under. Remember, I don't know if this is a Black Friday revenge game. Remember the day after Thanksgiving they played? It was a blowout, 34-13. They threw something that we'll probably never see again, a Hail Mary six. But that wasn't the great Zach Wilson in there. That was Aaron Rodgers' friend who he had filling in, like a waitress who has to skip her shift. You have to replace yourself. That's what Aaron Rodgers did. Dolphins crushed me Monday, so that's probably why I'm mad, but I'm still going to take the Jets and the points. I still think that's the smart one. I didn't like the body language Miami showed, even when they were winning Monday. Tua, not elusive at all. I don't trust this Tyreek Hill situation right now, taking himself out of the game. Meanwhile, the Jets are second against the pass. We shouldn't like the Jets under any circumstances as much, but I expect another lackluster performance by the Finns in a winning effort, 23-17, somewhere in there. What do you got?
Yeah, look, we're on the same page here. I'm taking the points too with the Jets, but I have a lot of concerns right now with this Dolphins team, and especially I think most of it's on the injury list, right? Like this whole roster is pretty much a question mark this week. They're going to be missing at least one lineman. You don't know Hill's status. Even if he does play, you know he's not going to be 100%. That was bad. Looked like what happened to his ankle the other day, and now this Jets team coming off possibly their best overall performance of the season. And like you said, let's not forget, it was 10-6 in this game when these two teams played before Boyle threw that Hail Mary to the other team there. So this line, I think it's just a little too high here. It's too high. So I'm back on the Zach Wilson train and the +9.
All right. That might be one we win out of the 8 we picked. That might be one. But listen, we've reached our halftime and we're going to retape our ankles. I'm going to knock out the rest of week 15 slate. Plus, Bri, later on, we've got Phil Simms. Will he answer the awkward question that Phil Simmons wants me to ask him? I hope not. All that and more when Cousin Sal's winning weekend returns. All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's winning weekend. Brother Bri is with us. We went over a bunch of games. Still a few left in the week 15 slate. Great weekend, by the way. 5 bowl games is a fun UFC card. Let's go over another game that belongs in the octagon, a battle between two North teams from different conferences. This is Cleveland, a 3-point favorite against Chicago. People are saying this is a rat line. 37.5 is the over-under. Browns looking for win number 9. It's going to have to come up against a hot Bears team, which I can't believe I'm actually saying this. Justin Fields may have saved his job. We're going to see how the last month treats him and the Bears organization. Again, this line is radish. You have a playoff team who's laying 3 points at home against a squad playing well, but a couple weeks ago vying for the number one pick. So I'm going to take Cleveland given the 3. I feel better that it's at 3 right now. The Browns 5-1 in games they played as a money line favorite. Flacco should be able to open up a little bit. Bears are 23rd versus the pass. Fields and the 26th ranked offense is going to have to throw against the number one pass defense and top 5 this century. That is no joke. I don't think they could do it. Hard to come from behind against this Browns team. We saw what Jacksonville fell short last week. Brownies win it 26-10. Bri, 26-10, does that work for you?
It does. It does, because I have the under 37.5. I have to do some math here. But look, it's weird that the Browns defense, fantastic against the pass, but they've been really good at home, but terrible on the road. I don't know why that is, right? They give up a ton of points on the road, but they've been phenomenal at home. They're just a whole different animal here. So I don't expect, Cleveland the last couple of games scored a plethora of points. I don't expect a ton here. And look, the Bears are just playing much better defense, right? Only given up 23 points in the last 2, right? And they shut down the Lions here. So I think they can shut down Flacco and Cleveland a little bit. And they're not going to score many points themselves here, Chicago.
All right, speaking of not scoring many points, the Patriots were garbage, garbage, garbage for 3 weeks and then came out against the Steelers. Of course, we all had the under in that one last Thursday night, and they taught us a lesson. But now this week, the Chiefs, 8.5-point favorite. They went down from 9 in Foxborough. The easy way to look at this, Bri, is KC coming off 2 straight losses. The Patriots have been terrible, except for that surprise win in Pittsburgh. The Chiefs should roll. I'm not seeing it that way. Not so fast. I think there are real issues for the Chiefs catching the ball. They're on the same pitch. Little
tantrums by Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They don't go up and down the field offensively like they used to. I'm going to take New England plus the points here. It's counterintuitive, but teams that win less than 25% of their games cover at a 57% rate when getting 7 or more points at home. They are top 3 against the run, the Patriots are. They're top 6 defensively in the red zone. That's a big stat when you're dealing with the Chiefs. I think they do enough to keep it close. Zappy makes you happy. 23-19, you're with me. You're getting the 8.5.
Yeah, I'm with you, Sal. What's going on with us, right? We're taking the Patriots. We're taking the Jets here. And look, do the Chiefs come out angry and just wipe the floor with the Pats? Maybe. But from what we've seen, right, the Chiefs can't pull away from anyone, right? They've lost 4 of their last 6. And in those 6 games, they've only averaged 19 points. Now, you go to the Pats, who've only given up 11 points per game over the last 4. I think I saw enough from Zappy, Sal, to say, you know, I think he can keep this line within 8.5, right? I mean, could this be a 20 to 13 game? 20 to 13?
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
I can see it. Let me ask you this. Patrick Mahomes is 20-1 to win the MVP. I know he would have to have a great end of December, beginning of January, but 20-1 for a conference that hasn't settled their number one seed, it's not going to be the Chiefs. But if they're a number 2 seed and he just lights it up for like 12 touchdowns, 1 interception, we've seen him do it before, right?
It could be all right, right? I mean, they definitely could potentially get the first seed, Sal, because I could see the Ravens slipping up. I mean, we already saw the Dolphins slip up. So they could get the first seed. Yeah. I think, you know, right now, though, it's a Dak and Purdy story.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't mind that. All right, Rams, 6.5 point favorite versus Washington. 50.5 is the over-under. I've gotten smoke taking Washington this whole last month. Meanwhile, the Rams are making a playoff run here. I'm going to take the Rams minus the 6.5. Commanders 0-5 against the spread in their last 5 games played in December. Meanwhile, Rams 9-1 over that stretch, or the last 10 games at least played in December. It's a big number for McVay's team to lay, but Robot Ron has no answer for Aaron Donald, who is the number one pass rusher win rate wise for a defensive tackle in the league. And Washington allowed 58 sacks. That's second in the league. That is a lot. 28-19. Give me those Rams. Does that work for you?
No. Sorry. You're making me do more math here. But yeah, I got the over 50.5. Look, and like this Rams team has caught fire recently, right? They're averaging 35 points per game over the last 3. And look, they're healthy. And it's been a nice balance between run and pass. Kyren Williams has been a top back, maybe a top 2 or 3 back over the last couple of weeks. And now this Washington team, they have to be the worst defense in the league, especially what we've seen recently, right? They gave up 45 in back-to-back games. They've given up 30 or more 8 times this season. I mean, 8 times. So they're not going to be able to stop this Rams team the way they're playing right now. I think they put up a lot of points. And then, you know, Washington, too, I think they can put up some points here. And I think this goes easily over the 50.5.
You know, you might be right. Maybe the Rams over team total 28 is the way to go.
I like that.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about a backdoor cover that way. I find I lose less. I wouldn't say I win more, but I lose less with the team totals. All right, San Francisco, 12.5 point favorite. They're at Arizona. 47.5 is the over-under. This went down from 13. 49 is just smoking teams. Doesn't even matter. Even if it takes them a minute to get rolling, they finally catch up or eventually catch up. Cardinals have been competitive and weren't too terrible, actually, the first time these two teams met up. And now it's Kyler Murray. I'm going to go over 16.5 team points here for the Arizona Cardinals. You know, Drew Lock scored 16 last week versus the 49ers. The Cardinals scored 16 in San Francisco in October, and that was with Josh Dobbs. I think Kyler at home can make things a little interesting. They might not even cover, but 79 points in 4 games. That's almost 20 points a game since Kyler Murray returned. James Conner, 100-plus yards. Trey McBride, 8 catches in the game before the bye. 30-20 looks good to me. I'm going to go over team total. What you got?
Yeah, I'm taking the 49ers minus 12.5. Like, it's hard betting against this 49ers team, especially when they're healthy, right? They can strike so quickly. And even if this game is, like, tied in the third, right, they can easily put up back-to-back touchdowns. All of a sudden, they're up 14. You're like, what happened here? And, you know, they have blown out 3 straight teams on the road in Philly, Seattle, and Jacksonville, right? And the 49ers have also blown out the Cardinals in 3 straight. And I know those weren't without Murray, but I think there's a lot of points here on the San Francisco side. I'll even say I think sounds like a 37-17 type of game. You can get your I'll give you your over 60
right, I'll
and
take
a half
17.
Here, but
thank you.
They're still going to cover here. It's scary going against the 49ers right now. Scary.
I only give a score because once a year it hits and I'm like, aha, you see what I did? I picked 430 games and one of them was exactly right. So I think you picked one a couple. Last time you were on, you picked an exact score, didn't you?
I did, and I think it was the Panthers game. I think
oh,
it was
man.
But you know, in the Panthers game you have like
right.
You have to pick between 1 and 30, right?
0, 3, like, 7,
there's
and
not
10.
Many. There's not many, exactly.
Right, exactly. All right, this is the marquee matchup. I think Buffalo home against Dallas. The Bills are a 1.5-point favorite. It's 50.5. I'm going to say this, Bri. I've said this on the Against the Odds podcast. The books have done a good job steering you into winning bets for games involving good teams. A couple weeks ago, like, why are the Niners 3.5-point favorites at Philly when Philly has one loss? Well, the Niners then steamroll them. Why is KC only a 1-point favorite versus Buffalo? KC had already lost in their home. Well, we saw Buffalo pretty much dominate about 80% of that game and held on and won. This feels like a similar deal. The Cowboys, you know, it's the bettor's favorite, bettor's darling. Usually you get a point just because it's the Cowboys, and they're on the road. But getting a point, I don't know, after that performance last week, it's because the Bills are going to win this game. And I'm going to have a same game parlay later for you. So I'm going to probably contradict myself. But I'm taking the Bills -1.5. Here, I think it's going to be a one-score game. Spreads of 3 or less. Josh Allen, 19-11 against the number. Bills need it more. They have to keep winning. I think Dallas lets down a little. Still a close game, but I'm going to lay the 1.5, 28-23. What you got?
Yeah, I'm laying the 1.5, too. And look, for some reason, I'm more excited about this game than any game this season,
really?
Right? I guess it's because we don't see this matchup, and the fact that they're playing in Buffalo is great. And look, you said it before. I think we've done a good job betting these teams recently based on how that line is going. Because I do think this should be more of a pick'em. I know it came down to 1.5 from 2.5, but I still think it should be a pick'em. Even the Cowboys may be favored by one. But look, the Cowboys, aside from the 49ers, have looked like the best team in football. But a lot of that has to do with favorable matchups. I mean, I do think they're great, but you have to say that anytime they played quality opponents on the road between the Eagles and the 49ers, they lost those two matchups here. I think it's something similar here. So, Sal, we're backing Allen. I think he plays well, and the Bills win this one 27-23.
All right. Wow. Very close. I hope you're wrong. I hope I'm wrong. This is a rematch of my favorite game of all time, I think. Actually, the Game 6 Mets Red Sox favorite, 52-17 Cowboys Super Bowl second favorite. Not imagine
boring.
Super Bowl.
That was boring.
I know. You don't have to worry for 3 minutes. All right. Where are we? We're at Sunday night. We are Baltimore, 3.5-point favorite, 43.5 at Jacksonville. I got burned with the Ravens last week. They didn't look so great against the Rams. They need a return in overtime to win that one, a punt return. Jags didn't look so hot at Cleveland either. But I'm not trusting the Ravens laying points in this spot. I'm going Jacksonville, taking the 3.5, a little more than a field goal. Trevor Lawrence, 4-0 against the spread as a night underdog. He's been interception free 3 of the last 4 versus top 10 defenses. Maybe a Tucker at the buzzer type game, 24-23. I'm going to take the 3.5. Oh, that's no good for you. Well, maybe. I didn't say who
well,
was
who's
get
got
the
24. Who's
yeah,
got the 24?
I don't know. I'll tell you later. But you're going over team total for the Ravens, right?
Yeah, I like the over Ravens 23.5, and I like the over for the game, even though I will say this number is really low for the Ravens. But a lot of this must have to do with the weather forecast, right? They're saying potential for showers. It's supposed to be a little bit windy because look at the Ravens, right? This team has put up 30 points or more in 6 of their last 7, right? Mm-hmm. And you could say last week against the Rams, right? That was bad weather too anyway, and they still put up a ton against the Rams. And look, this Jacksonville defense has been terrible for 2 straight games here. Flacco and Browning both went for over 300 yards, right? They could never get off the field, this defense here. You know, this is the third straight game against an AFC North opponent. I think Lamar has a big, really big Sunday night here. So take the Ravens over 23.5. Again, really low. They're definitely factoring weather here, but it's still too low for me.
You don't think Flacco and Browning should thrive against any defense? Come on, Brian. Have you been watching 2023
amazing
football?
Amazing.
All right, Philly, this is Monday night at Seattle, 3.5-point fair. There's a 3.5 again. 47.5 is the over-under. Another one where I think it's too many points, but also how many games in a row is Philly going to lose here? Geno Smith, 9-3 against the spread. Drew Lock 2-0 against the spread in primetime if it ends up being they going that way. I'm going to stay away from the main number, instead focus on the team total. Again, Seattle over 22.5. The Eagles cannot get a stop, Brian. You brought it up. I know they've played tough teams, but 109 points in 3 weeks. There's a problem there. 36 per game. And now against a team that absolutely has to win to keep their playoff hopes alive in front of the 12th man. I think this is a bargain getting the Seattle Seahawks over 22.5, but you like the we can both win. You have the Eagles minus the points.
Yeah,
right?
Look, I think we can both win. I think we will both win. You bring up a good point here. I do like the over for the game. I like the over for Philly too. Maybe I should lean to the over for Philly, but I am taking Philly minus 3.5 here. And like you said, look, what tough stretches for both of these teams, right? Mm-hmm. It's amazing what they both had to go through, the gauntlet. But the Seahawks are coming off the 49ers twice and the Cowboys. You know how hard it is to play after one game against the 49ers? They had to play them twice. So they've been beat up now for four straight weeks. I think this Eagles team finally gets back on track. And look, if Geno is playing, he's likely still banged up here. So I think you could say against that Cowboys defense, the Eagles just made a few too many mistakes on offense there here. I think they get right and they cover the 3.5.
All right, UCLA giving points to Boise. No, we're done. That's it. We did 15 NFL games. That's
wow.
A lot.
That's a lot.
You're all right, right? We did it. Hey, you can follow Brother Bri on X at The Brother Bri. He's also still on MySpace. Bri, thanks again for being here. Long before Tommy DeVito, there was another New York Giants great lining up behind the center. This one has a Super Bowl MVP. Phil Simms joins us. That's next on Cousin Sal's. All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Very exciting times. Let's bring in our guest. He is a Super Bowl MVP with the New York Giants, 1986, after a near flawless performance. Looking at him now, his head of hair remains just as flawless. One of the all-time greats, NFL on CBS analyst Phil Simms. Phil, thanks for being here.
Good to talk to you, and I like what's behind you here. See a nice helmet. I see some trophies. Then I see Cowboys. Okay.
I have a lot going on. I'm a native New Yorker, somehow grew up rooting for the Cowboys. But when you were in charge, it wasn't even a contest. You beat us up pretty good. It was only after you left that we had a chance.
Yeah, right. I took some severe whippings from the Cowboys early in my career and late.
I'm not sure if you heard this. I was driving to work the other day, but your former teammate, Lawrence Taylor, was on a radio show with Tom Brady. And Jim Gray asked LT which quarterback, past or present, that he would want to sack if he had a chance to sack him. And guess what he had answered?
I know what he answered. Me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, me. He'd always say, he'd run by me in practice. He goes, oh, my God, I just want to hit you one time. I said, yeah, but you can't. Oh, it was great.
I thought the whole 20-minute lead up to what I was listening to was what LT would have done to Brady. And Brady, you're lucky you didn't play with me. So I figured that was the easy answer. It's like, oh, no, Phil Simms is the answer. He talks so much. Coach wouldn't let us hit him, which makes sense, of course.
Yeah, but, of course. Thank you.
Yeah. You must have loved that you had that shield, right? That built-in shield there.
Oh, yeah, man. We would laugh about it all the time. He just would run by me, go, oh, man, Simms. I go, yeah, I know, but it ain't going to happen, big boy. And every once in a while, it's been a couple years since we've done it, but he always tells the crowd and everybody that he taught me really how to play quarterback. And I have to listen to that story all the time. He actually believes it. You know, you would just throw it down the field deep. You would think it was all. And I told you, you know, throw it short. I said, yeah, Lawrence, I remember that really. I don't remember any of that, but he takes credit for it. Any success I had.
Well, you should take credit for him being one of the all-time great pass rushers, honestly.
Oh,
turnabout is fair play, I think. Let's talk about your former team, the Giants. This Tommy right. DeVito. And he was the punchline for the first 3 weeks. Everybody, what's this guy doing in the league? How did he even play for Syracuse? This and that. Then now he's the toast of the town. The cutaways to his family and his agent. By the way, that's not the same agent that got you money for the Disney World, right?
No, it's not. Different guy?
Okay.
Yeah, he's a little different. Yeah.
But how do you make sense of a Tommy DeVito? Like, really, like, now thriving. I don't want to jinx these guys because we know they could revert back to whatever, but he's out playing first round supposed franchise players.
It went from kind of let's have fun about it to now it's turning real. Watching the game on TV, the crowd, they were into it right from the start. And it, you could see there was just something extra about the Giants. And I go, now Thibodeau's catching my, that. The play calling's good. Tommy DeVito's got energy. Oh, Jalin Hyatt's coming out. Oh, Robinson. All of a sudden, everybody looks better. And I got to tell you the truth. I wasn't even surprised that they went down and kicked the winning field goal.
Yeah, they're talking about playoffs in the locker room. They're 5-8. And in the NFC, anything really could happen. Do you think the tailgate outside of Giants Stadium with the family has anything to do with it? Did the Sims family ever have a big tailgate?
No.
They didn't. Okay.
My wife, has a laugh all the time. People talk. She goes, I spent 90% of my time standing in the bathroom going, oh, my God, what's going on? I dropped a pass once against the San Diego Chargers. I tossed it to somebody and I went out the other side and now there's not a guy within 20 yards of me. And the pass was thrown by Tony Galbraith, I can remember. And for some reason, I thought somebody was coming. So I jumped up to get the ball and I dropped it. And so the guy sitting next to my wife says, the SOB can't run, he can't throw, and now he can't catch. And my wife, she actually thought it was pretty funny. So we did go on to win the game, which makes it easier. But
I'm trying to think. They showed that highlight on Inside the NFL, 150 times over the years?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Can never live it down.
Everything we talked about leads me to think that the MVP should absolutely go to the quarterback. The quarterback is the most valuable position in football and maybe even all of sports. So people talk about Tyreek Hill and everybody else. Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy are the favorites right now on FanDuel. Do one of those two get your vote? Or somebody else?
Well, right now, it would be hard for me to pick one of those two, just because I think they're both playing well. And Dak Prescott, I follow his career very closely. I saw him at Mississippi State many times. I'd watch him on Saturdays, and I don't even think it's close. This is the best I've seen him throw the football ever, and it's coming out of his hand good. He's got more power. He looks more limber. He's moving better. And that's the other one. I got to give Mike McCarthy tons of credit. He gets rid of Kellen Moore, and we see how that's going in out there in Los Angeles. But Mike McCarthy, we're going to run the ball. As it went along, what is he now? Hell, it's the air raid. It's just give it to Dak and let's go.
But I agree with you. I think he's gotten a lot of, this guy, Mike McCarthy, people just waiting for him to screw up, and it hasn't happened. And meanwhile, all these other coaches, week after week after week, make curious decisions. So McCarthy may have moved up to, I think, top 5 or 6, I think, in the league right now. And I don't want to do this to you, but Bill Simmons, my podcast partner, insisted I ask you from Guess the Line.
He insisted. You can ask me.
He said, again, you don't have to answer this, but were you at least 5% rooting against your teammate, Jeff Hostetler, in Super Bowl 25?
No, not even 5%.
Terrible question. See, I shouldn't have
asked. No, it's okay. It's okay. People ask me that all the time. I mean, I was at peace with all that before the Super Bowl because I knew I wasn't coming back when I got hurt. I broke my foot. And just tell Bill Simmons, I don't mind the question at all, but my right foot to this day still hurts from that injury I got against Buffalo during the regular season. I forgot who fell on the back. Leon Searcy, would that be the name?
I think it was Leon Seals, not Leon Searcy, that fell on your
Leon
foot.
Seals, he was a lineman. I think he fell on the back of my foot, and I walked to the sideline, and Parcells goes, what? What's wrong? I said, I think I broke my foot. He goes, oh, you didn't break your foot. You're good. Don't worry about it.
The great Phil Simms. What a team player. He's going to Disney World. You could check him out there, or you could check him out on the NFL on CBS, where every Sunday he'll give his FanDuel picks. Phil, thanks for so much. This was such a joy.
Sal, thanks, man. A lot of good questions. You do a great job. I like the hat. You're an Oregon guy too, huh?
Well, my son goes there now, so I'm forced to wear the hat. I mean, you know how much tuition is, so I should get a hat out of it, right?
No, I don't know anymore. But
oh, that's right.
I got grandchildren now getting ready to go to college. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I don't know how much it costs.
Get that Disney World endorsement back. It'll help a lot. We'll be right back to wrap things up on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend.
All right, we're back on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. I'm going to say goodbye in a minute. Aww. I know, it makes me sad too. But let me see you off with the same game parlay. It's a 4-teamer Dallas-Buffalo game. Let's take my boys, adjusted to +7.5, CD Lamb, to score a touchdown. He's only done that in five straight games. Josh Allen, 25 or more rushing yards. He's hit that in four of the last six. And the game to see 50 or more total points gets you around 4-1 odds. A little extra holiday scratch courtesy of FanDuel. That's going to do it. I want to thank two New York legends, Brother Bry and Phil Sims, for joining us today, as well as the Chargers' pitiful defense for allowing me to cash my Thursday night wager. And I want to remind everyone within the sound of my voice, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites. Until next week, happy handicapping.